For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, folks? It is I am here, the voice that is vibrating in your ear holes. You can follow me at the Twitterverse in the Twitterverse at Who Trans Superman, HUUTRAN Superman, and at Jazz High Notes number 2. And folks, it's 2024. He's back. He went the distance. He gone the distance. He goes the distance 49 times in 2024. What's up, Jay Barker?
Hey. How are you doing, Hoop?
Doing well, thank you. Welcome back. Good to hear your voice, sir. And of course, he highlights the highlighters for us with the high sports. He's the AlamaBean 23 on Twitter. What's up, Alma?
It's going good, you know, another good game. Yeah. So, you know, all smiles.
Alma's, this is 3 times in like the past month-ish or so.
Somewhere around
Alma might be hanging out in the studio a lot more often, guys. Big news coming from him. Don't want to jinx it yet, but I think it's official. But
we're pretty much there.
Yeah, we're pretty much there. So we're at the finish line, you know. But yeah, Alma's here in studio with me, Jared on the phone with me. And before we go on, I'm with Alma, and, you know, he talks about the high, but hitting the high notes is a Believe, part of the Believe network. And you know what? With the NFL playoffs right around the corner and the NBA season in full swing, Bet Online has you covered with all up with up to the second odds, news, and scores. With additional odds, lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today to get into the action and see all the updated odds. Remember to use promo code BELEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at Bet Online, where the game starts. And this is a another exciting edition of maybe it's Cole outside edition of hitting the high notes. Alma, it took you an hour to get into the city today to get to the game. Usually takes you, what, 20, 25 minutes?
Yeah, because, I mean, with where I live, I'm pretty much outskirts Salt Lake City. I'm right there in Taylorsville, so normally, it takes me like 20, 25 minutes if there's traffic, but today my phone told me, hey, take State Street all the way down. That'll be your quickest route. When, mind you, I just hop on I-15, go all the way down. Yep. It took me so long. I want to say maybe the fastest I went that entire trip was maybe 20 miles per hour, and that's being generous to
Steve
myself.
Steve Jobs is full of shit. And so, but here, actually, maybe it's not, because I did see, a lot of people had problems getting into the game today. Mm-hmm. People were showing up still at halftime. I've never seen her tweet before, but a woman talk about, her son had paid his own money from Christmas for tickets to the game. They got on the freeway and hadn't moved for, like, 15 minutes. So maybe it was. It's just hard for everybody to get into the game.
And, I mean, I even saw one fan. I'm blanking on what her handle is right now. But they said that they traveled, what it ended up being 3-4 hours for them to be able to get to tonight's game. So the fact that you know that you still have dedicated fans coming to this game, whether it's absolutely sunny outside or you barely have any visibility going to the game, people are going to be coming to Utah Jazz games.
Yeah, Jay Barker, you said you didn't get to see the game tonight, but you're a ski bum that you're doing?
Yes, ski bus, yeah.
Ski bus.
Yeah. It's a ski bus.
It's a bus that you put on skis. And let it ride. It's a little bit safer than national skiing.
Went up Big Cottonwood Canyon to get people from Snowbird and Elko. Wrong. Solitude and Brighton.
Yeah, he drives the bus metaphorically and literally. So,
see, since I've lived in Utah, I have not made that journey. I have not gone snowboarding, skiing.
You were from Florida, though. So, I mean, is that something you want to do?
Well, like, I want to, but then I drove in snow, and I'm like, absolutely not. I will stay close to the ground. Yep. So,
Jared, if I hook you up with Alma, you give him free fare on the bus, he gives you free fare to jump on the trampoline.
Absolutely.
Deal? Sounds good.
Trampoline?
Yeah, day what? Job. I work at a trampoline park.
So. Trampoline.
Free trampoline.
Okay, so let's talk. So again, so, you know, really haggard weather day. It's, you know, not the first snow, but it's the first really big snowstorm of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully when that dies down, you know, things will go back to normal. But yes, Jazz played on the Espen tonight against the Denver Nuggets. They go 3-1 their last four games.
Mm-hmm.
Who could have predicted that? I am so smart. I SMRT. You know, look, wait,
you predicted this win?
I did. I did not predict this win. When they lost to the Celtics, I did predict this win. Because I posted on the Twitter that Tony Jones had posted something like, oh boy, the gauntlet of Celtics, Bucks, 76ers and Nuggets. Oh boy, it's gonna be hard for the Jazz. And I just retweeted that, going, so are the Jazz going 3-1 or 4-0?
And sure enough, 3-1.
3-1. And look, is it, you know, like I asked this, Jared, last time we talked, like, would I have put a significant amount of money on it? No, not at all. I'm just talking on Twitter. My tweet was more in line though that, like, it's January 10th. We don't know shit, okay? Like, we just don't know anything. It's a long basketball season. You know, as good as it feels,
close to 500 too. I'm
one
shocked.
Game under.
Yeah, as good as it feels to have these wins or whatever, I just don't think it matters that much. And you know, like you know, I'm not picking an NBA champion today. It was more like everybody seems to think the Jazz are going to be this in January, or whatever. They're still shell shocked from the November and going like 7-13 or whatever it was, mm-hmm. or 7 and whatever their crap record was. It was more of just like, I think this team is just, I think the NBA season right now, we're kind of in a flux. We don't know a lot yet. It will become a lot more clear in about a month. But really, like, it wouldn't, like, I guess I would say more, I wouldn't be shocked if the Jazz went 3-1. I'm not shocked. Like, you know, beating the Bucks without Damian, yeah, sure. I mean, they beat him really handily.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost
16 points.
Another wire-to-wire win, sort of like tonight against the Nuggets, just from the get-go. I even said in the third quarter, I'm like, oh, this team's not losing. You know, they hit a couple, like, Nuggets were making a run, Jazz called timeout, came back, they went on a run, the Jazz went on one, and run, I was like, yeah, this team, they're not losing tonight.
I just got PTSD from Quinn Snyder, so going into the fourth quarter, this is guaranteed.
And, you know, I told our friend Sam here, Sam that we work with, and I was like, you know, he's like, oh, they're going to come back. I'm like, no, Sam, it's over. The game's over, Jazz won, like, trust. And you know, and people were like, what was that? Where was that 2 years ago, right? And I was like, exactly. Like, this is a completely different team. And it wasn't even that I believe this team is better. It's just like, I don't need that PTSD anymore. I don't have it anymore because that team's gone. And that has no effect on what's happening right now. And I was like, this Jazz team, wire to wire tonight, was just better from the opening tip-off.
Mm-hmm.
And I blame Jokic for warming up in the hallway and not letting me pass for 5 minutes. That's on them. So, I don't know if you saw that feature. Jokic played defense on me. And look, so there's a little hallway where I have to go to get my, you know, media room down in on the first level. And never have I ever been stopped, Jared, in that hallway. But Jokic and the Nuggets were, like, warming up in that little area, and they wouldn't let anybody pass them. And I was like, I just need to go two doors that way, you know? And it would just – so we just have to sit there for five, 6 minutes. And they were having a taco bar in the media room, and I was hungry. And you know what? This is on Jokic for playing soccer in that little hallway and not on the court. So that's on them. That's why they look like shit tonight. And yeah, so the Jazz, you know, they beat the Sixers. Doesn't matter. They beat the Sixers without Embiid. Still, that same team would have lost to the Sixers 2 years ago. You know, without Embiid, right? Like, we have that PTSD from a while back. But it doesn't matter, and this Jazz team is different, and I don't have the same PTSD. Jared, so the Jazz, again, they played a couple teams without players there, but they played a full-strength Nuggets tonight. They go 3-1. They're winning road games now.
Mm-hmm.
Surprising, man. It's a different team.
I was Mueller has tweeted out
the beginning of the season. It's
right.
A different team.
I, 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 exactly. I was Mueller has tweeted out that the Jazz have played the most away games the 9th team in the league. You know, we're and as Alma was telling me right before we came on, I was like, hey, we're halfway through the season.
I think I saw a tweet from what was it, Sarah Todd, saying that the Jazz. There was some kind of exchange between you and her. I thought. Never mind. I'm blanking on what I was going to say.
You're right. Sarah Todd and I did have an exchange, but it was about Pokemon.
gotta catch them.
That's what we needed all about.
but yeah, what are your thoughts? Like, I mean, like, you know, we talked just a few weeks ago, and it was a third. Now we're halfway through the season. We talked about like where we thought some players, and you know, again, November was a different beast. We're halfway through. Try to remember your expectations from the Jazz from the beginning of the season to where they are now. Where do you think they are?
Well, it's interesting. Somebody mentioned that they're 5-1 with John Collins at center in the starting lineup, and that to me is like that's a change. That's a wrinkle I didn't really see coming. So, you know, kudos to Will Hardy for, you know, tinkering with lineups and, I mean, just really finding stuff that's working. Because, yeah, I did not expect the Jazz to put John Collins at center. Playing him next to Lauri Markkanen is...
Yeah, depending on what beat writer you listen to, that's a great move. Tony Jones is pro John Collins at center, saying it's a great move. Andy Larson saying the numbers don't say it. Jazz fans can't believe that Walker Kessler is being buried behind Steve Kerr's rotation.
Did you just say Steve Kerr?
Yeah. So, I mean, the reason that why Walker Kessler's not starting right now has got to be Steve Kerr.
Yeah, there's no other reason because, I mean, you killed his confidence with Team USA. Right. And so, ever since then, he's just been struggling to be in the starting lineup.
The part of Dragon Spotch being played tonight by Alma. So, Alma, at the beginning of the season, what did you think? Where did you think this Jazz team was going to be? And where they are now, what differences do you see?
So, as in, like, preseason?
Preseason, like game one.
So
expectations, I guess.
So, when I went ahead and wrote my article for the Hive Sports talking about what
my... TheHiveSports.com, folks.
Yes, TheHiveSports.com. When I went ahead and wrote my preseason analysis, I went ahead and said that I do expect this team to go about 41-41. That was my expectation during the preseason. So
play in spot 41-41.
Yeah,
I think that's probably the same thoughts that we had here on hitting the high notes, part of the B-League network, which is different from the Hive.
And the thing is, like going from anywhere from the 7 to the 10 seed, I think that that is obtainable. I do think that going any higher than 9 is going to be very difficult given how the West has turned out so far and with how the league likes to help certain teams sometimes. But I don't think that it's absurd to think that the Jazz can make the 10 seed. I mean, shoot, if you look at the standings in the West right now, they're a game behind.
Yeah, half a game behind Lakers. Oh, Rockets. Something.
It's somewhere in that teams. Region.
Yes, but they're above the Warriors.
Yeah, and now we're team convey. So,
right. Yeah.
So with how they've been performing as of late and if they can go ahead and make that sustainable, which... With an 82-game season, I don't believe it's going to last as long as fans might want it to be or what the expectation might be.
I've heard 3 or 4 minutes is actually plenty of time. So, Jared, 41, like, I mean, we thought the Jazz were probably at least a play-in team.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing like they should be at least a play-in team, Jared.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yes. I mean, do you think this Jazz team as is, do you want this core to stay together? What do you want the Jazz to do in the next, I mean, the trade deadline is a month away. What do you want this Jazz team to do?
I think that's a really good question.
That's what I do.
I don't know. I'm confused now at this point because we were talking about, you know, trade Jordan Clarkson, all this stuff. And then, you know, there's been no traction, at least that we know of, in the trade side of things. I'm hearing people start talking about the Jazz being a buyer, and I'm not team buyer. I'm team seller if I have to choose a team. So.
Okay. I mean, and that's actually a good answer. Thank you. I mean, because now I know your team. You're still in a month away. You're still probably looking to, because Alma, we talked about this last week. There's like 8 guys that don't have contracts on the Jazz next year. Like Simone
over the next 2 years.
Oh, next year. So I mean, Simone is gone next year. Jordan Clarkson is still here, but his contract goes down.
Chris Dunn's doesn't have Chris a Dunn's not contract get, not for next get, year. Yeah. Omer Yurtseven, I believe.
Olenek. Olenek is a free agent.
Olenek's a free agent. A big name. You're right. Samanich, he doesn't have his contract next year.
Yeah, no more Luka in the Jazz. So
yeah, no Luka at home anymore.
So you know, guys that Kelly Olenek, right? Expiring contract. Well, what do we do with him? He's a rotation guy, but he's one of the guys that play a lot of minutes for the Jazz. Mm-hmm. Chris Dunn, the starting point guard for the Jazz right now, Chris Dunn. I believe THT is on expiring contract.
Mm-hmm. This is his last year as well.
THT, who gets no minutes right now.
Making $11 million.
The Jazz started winning when he went to the bench. Interesting.
Chris Dunn and THT, I probably couldn't pick them out of lineup basketball skill wise, but I'm really happy to see that the Jazz have chosen.
You better be able to see the difference in the hairline.
Chris Dunn taking advantage of the time that he has, which is nice. Like, it always felt like THT was kind of there, but never really took the brass ring, and Chris Dunn has done the opposite. So, you told me today, I'm like, yeah, Chris Dunn, I can more confidently say today versus November that I think Chris Dunn's a better player than THT.
And I mean, especially like if you're going to focus on those two, big stats that I like to go ahead and focus on is
numbers.
Big numbers. I love analytics. So especially when you're going to go ahead and look at like the assist to turnover ratio, if you're going to look at this season, Chris Dunn leads the Utah Jazz with a 3.4, which is great. And then even looking at Talen Horton-Tucker, he's at a 2.5, which isn't bad. But when you go ahead and see that he's almost at the top of the list for turnovers for the team, it doesn't help.
Yeah, and for people who aren't even analytic people, like, you can tell. Like,
he passes the eye test, too.
Yeah, exactly. THT did not pass eye test turnover-wise.
And then Chris Dunn's defense is phenomenal. Right. I mean, he had, I think it was 4 steals tonight.
Yeah, Chris Dunn's.
Looking
like a DB out there. Intercepting passes, like Jokic was trying to do a couple long range passes, Chris Dunn, just picked them out of the air.
And then especially when he was like hunting, like you said, Jokic, he was like going out of his way to break the zones to go ahead and bring that pressure, or when they were going to go ahead and cause traps with Sexton in the corner, they just did not have an answer for when Dunn was on the court. But the moment he came off, it like kind of felt like things were a little more open for Denver. Granted, they didn't really capitalize too much on it, but you definitely saw a huge difference when Dunn was on the court.
Right. And so, hey, nice job, Dunn. Great. Congratulations. Thank you for, signing that 2-year contract with the Jazz. It's worked out really well for Chris Dunn. They can play. I mean, Chris Dunn would have been, think about the time. Chris Dunn could have been on that Donovan Rudy team. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they never made an offer. Or it made a play for Chris Dunn. So it's infuriating. So some Jazz fans are going to hear that and bang their heads against the wall, because I know there's a segment of Jazz fans who have been calling for that for years, and now we're seeing it. Okay, so, Alma, I know that you're number one team.
Who's to say who would even see time under Quinn Snyder, though? So.
Yeah, neither here nor there. but, Alma, I know your team convey. So team convey means the Jazz need to be not one of the 10 worst teams in the league. Give the pick to Oklahoma City, especially if it's not even a lottery pick. Like, if the Jazz make the playoffs, that pick is 16 plus. So, or 14 plus, I guess. 16 plus? Yeah. So, 14, some, 14 plus. 14 plus, yeah. So, so that pick could be, somewhere in the could be late teens, even. So, we're team convey. So, I'm sorry, Alma's team convey. Are you team buyer, team seller? What are you, we talked about that. Trade deadline is a month away.
So I don't even know if I lean one way or the other.
Ways. I like it.
I mainly feel that they should do what is best to go ahead and get this pick to Oklahoma City. So if they feel that they can go ahead and do that with the current roster, then go ahead and do it. But if you think that you need to go ahead and move a piece or two to go ahead and make sure that you're a play-in or playoff contender, then go ahead and make that move. What that move could be, who knows? Because it seems like
everyone except for THT, since he hasn't really been given the opportunity since the rumors started circulating.
Right.
Everybody who has been seen as a trade piece is starting to perform.
Yes.
They are starting to look like players that earn their contract
Mr. Triple-double Jordan Clarkson now.
Who's... I mean, Jordan Clarkson, you can look at Colin Sexton. I mean, outside of one game, over the last seven games, he's been playing great. He's been shooting over 50%.
John Collins looked, I don't want to say dominant, but he looked really good today against some, the Denver defense.
To be honest, when the game started, when I saw the starting lineup, I was like, oh, great, we're having John Collins play center against Jokic. That's going to last 4 minutes, and then we're going to throw Kessler in there, and then we're going to actually see the adjustments. But the adjustment was John Collins needs to be out there whenever Jokic is there.
Kessler got torn up by Jokic. Mm-hmm. Bit on every pump fake. Yep. Every pump fake. First quarter, I'm like, because Jokic was double teamed, does a pump fake. Walker jumps over his own player to try to block it. I'm like, Walker, what are you doing? Like, what is this? And again, I feel like I pick on Walker Kessler a lot, and I really don't. But it's just one of those, like, you're a second year player. But you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, because like, especially when you're a rookie, you can be like, okay, he's a rook, he'll learn. But now you're in your second year, you no longer can compete for an all-rookie team, or you can't compete for rookie of the year. Like, you got to compete with the big boys now. So, you know, Do something, put extra weight in your Adidas shoes, and stick your feet on the ground. Because Now everyone is scouting that you are going to jump on a pump fake Every single time, and he falls for it every single time. If I'm not mistaken, he has 2 fouls per game just from that.
It's something I saw today with Walker Kessler. I was like, and it's one of those, like, guys, what bothers me, I guess, is that there's a lot of Jazz fans who are still just incredulous about Walker Kessler not starting. And I don't think it's a bad idea to not have him start. No, I don't think he sucks. I just think,
I'm just twisting the knife.
More realistic expectations for someone like Walker Kessler, I guess. And so it bugs me when it gets hyped up a little too. When our own players overhype our own fan base, that bothers me.
But also, like, if you look at his stats too, I mean, he's been performing a lot better with the bench unit. But then again, he's also, not to knock any players, but he's playing lesser competition.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, that's
I mean, now that he has been in the starting lineup last year and went ahead and faced some pretty heavy talent there, I mean, now he's starting to see what he's learned from the past year and now applying it with a unit that he can thrive in.
Yeah. Let's go back to Jared real quick. Jared, so you said you want this Jazz team to be in the play-in playoff, right?
Yes.
All right. So, like, you know, like, we're seeing it today. Tony Jones tweeted out something like, wow, like, when the bench unit comes in, it's not getting massacred anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's a very obvious, so, you know, the starting line is Collins, Lowry, Simone, Colin, and Dunn. And it's worked out well. Usually Dunn, at least today, I'll remember what happened today. Dunn and Colin came out probably after like 4 or 5 minutes. Keontae and Jordan came in.
Mm-hmm.
A few minutes after that, maybe a minute after that, it was Kelly Olynyk and Ochai came in for Simone and it was Walker and Olynyk came in for Simone and
Markkanen.
And then they probably ended the last 3 minutes with Ochai in. And so then all of a sudden the five bench players were in for like the last 3 minutes or so. And they then mix and match, and then, you know, you kind of mix and match for the next, you know, first 6-7 minutes of the second quarter. And then the end of the second quarter, it's usually the starting lineup, or maybe Jordan Clarkson's in for Chris Dunn. Obviously the Jazz went 3-1 kind of with this rotation. So now, Jared, so it's looked good. The Jazz have looked pretty good. I don't want to say great, but they look pretty good. We're getting to the trade deadline. Some of the guys that are on the trade block that we think we know of, Kelly Olynyk again, THT, Jordan Clarkson. Who are you selling?
Probably Olynyk. I just can't see him coming back next year.
Okay. Yeah, but just Olynyk.
Because
you said you want the Jazz to be.
It's hard to.
You said you want the Jazz to be sellers.
Well, I want to trade THT too, but.
Okay, but you said you want the Jazz.
I'm not sure anybody would take him.
You said the Jazz want to be sellers, and to be sellers, that means you might have to trade the guys that are.
Mr. Triple Double, though.
Okay.
I don't know if I could trade him now.
And 3 weeks ago, you were probably 3 weeks ago, a month ago, you were saying trade him.
That was before he broke the triple double.
Okay, that's okay.
I'm kidding, you can trade him.
No, I mean, I'm not trading him, but I'm asking you as a fan.
Yeah, like, you do want to trade him. Don't lie.
I've been trying to trade him for 3 years, but I obviously can't.
You tried to trade him before he even came in the building.
Yes, but I'm asking you as a fan, like I'm. Yeah. Are you comfortable saying, okay, you know, let's say that New York deal comes up, a pick and salary for Jordan Clarkson, the one that Bill Simmons tweeted out. That's something that I think, you know, a month ago people were ready to jump on. Are you as a fan ready to jump on that?
Probably, but I feel like if you do that right now, it kind of upsets your balance.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, here, you want the Jets to be a playoff team, but you also want them to be sellers at the deadline.
Yeah, I don't know if they can sell Jordan Clarkson if they're going to be able to.
But he has a lot of trade value. Let's say he has, out of the players that we talked about, you know, he might have the most trade value.
Yeah. Something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, Alma, same question. I don't know. Like, so are you team buyer, team seller? What do you? Oh, you said you don't really
know. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm kind of like 50-50. Right. Like, whatever can go ahead and convey this pick, that is what team I am on. So if we need to go ahead and move some pieces to go ahead and make sure that we feel comfortable doing that, then by all means, Utah, do what you need to do. But if you think that you can go ahead and get there without moving any pieces, okay, stick with what you got, because I mean, this current lineup that they've been doing for the starters, they're 6-2.
Jared, would you trade Olynyk, upset your balance, trade Jordan Clarkson if it meant that you might miss the playoffs?
Probably not, because I really want that pick to convey.
Okay, and so you're pro losing Olynyk for nothing then?
Yeah.
Okay, Alma, same thing. Like, I mean, you kind of said that, but this is the same thing. Like, if you're probably gonna lose on like THT, you might get something for, but THT is not affecting your team right now. He's not playing. He didn't play Garbage Man tonight. He's just not in your rotation at all. So THT doesn't count because right now he's not gonna affect your balance. But Olynyk probably would. Jordan Clarkson definitely would.
Yeah, because I mean, with Olynyk, he gives you with your bench unit a third ball handler, a third facilitator, somebody that can go ahead and have pretty good court vision, even though he has the slowest Euro in the NBA.
He does. Slow-mo.
I would like to get something back for him, but at the same time, with his age, the size of his contract, it's going to be really hard to find a partner for him. And I believe Andy Larson went ahead and broke it down on why it's difficult to even trade him.
I don't,
I'm not recalling the details.
I can't afford the trip, so I have no idea what it was. So,
but,
it's just
going to be really difficult to go ahead and trade him.
He makes a decent salary.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's like 12.
Yeah. So that's, it's not awful, but it's also not like you can't just get him for just a pick. You have to get salary back.
And I believe I saw a trade offer for THT through Sports Illustrated, sending him to San Antonio, which I'm not completely against. It's for Doug McDermott and a 2026 second round pick.
Again, but THT's not really changing the equation.
But like it's getting something because
right.
Go ahead and get rid of THT. Highly doubt he's going to come back. But then you're still like you're going to lose Olynyk for nothing.
That's sort of the thing.
But then you're getting something out of it.
Yeah,
in my opinion,
like THT, you'll get something. But it doesn't matter because even if you didn't trade him, you're probably not affecting your playoff. If you trade Olynyk, that you're right. You're taking because you know. You trade Olynyk. The pro is, hey, Taylor Hendricks has time. But Taylor Hendricks is not Olynyk.
Yeah, he's still too raw to be trying anything like Olynyk is doing.
And that balance is, you know, and Taylor Hendricks is not supposed to do what Olynyk does. That balance is going to be affected either positive or negative. I don't know which way it would be, but something would change. So
I'm hoping that his time with Jason Preston in the G League will go ahead and kind of show off some of his more raw skills and actually like hone them.
Right.
It'll be really rough losing Olynyk and not getting anything in return. But I think that that's probably the best scenario for Utah if they're trying to convey this pick.
Okay. And that's fair. So, and Danny, I don't know what he, like the thing is, if someone offers you, an unprotected first round pick in a future draft, man, that'd be hard to say no to.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. You know, even a pick in this draft. I know you said it's a weak draft, but again, you know, in a weak draft, that kind of means to me that, you know, even at 20, 25, there could be something. Even if you're getting a really good role player, mm-hmm. If you can get somebody to play better than Ochai Agbaji, that could be something. Because you know the Jazz still need some brick, not bad shots, but you know,
building,
you know,
piece.
Building blocks is a better metaphor. So now the Jazz are sort of in a hard spot because now we're, you know, just two, three weeks ago, it was, all right, trade Jordan Clarkson, trade THT, trade THT for anything, which can still happen, trade Kelly Olynyk for something fairly decent, hopefully, trade Jordan Clarkson, and now it's like, if you do that, you're really going to screw up the mojo of the season. And finally, the mojo is here for this Jazz season. So there's a chance that the Jazz go through the trade deadlines and are not stellars.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, and I want to apologize, everybody. Like, my last episode I did with Alma, I listened to it, like, just the other day, and man, was I talk fast. And man, was I talking really fast on that episode. I'm like, oh my God, shut up, dude. Like, talk slower. I was yelling at myself in the car, but...
You're just excited to talk
to me,
that's all.
I can't help it. It's, you know, when you have a speech impediment, what do, you know? Okay, so we're talking, and so we're talking about the Jazz, you know, sellers or not, but... And we're not quite sure. Maybe the Jazz are buyers, right? Maybe the Jazz are buyers. Maybe the Jazz, like, you know, we were talking about, hey, we want to convey this pick. What kind of deal do you see the Jazz doing if they're looking to buy?
So, I mean, if they're looking to buy, I mean, I don't even know if there's too many players that would be on their mm-hmm. radar.
What do they need? What do the Jazz need right now?
So they need a guard. Granted, they finally found something that worked with mm-hmm. Dunn and Sexton, but mm-hmm. at the same time, you still kind of see cracks in the seams. Mm-hmm. So they would probably need some sort of guard to go ahead and try and help them out, and maybe even like have a team like, say, Washington mm-hmm. with Trey Jones.
Trey?
I mean, I think that would be a solid... piece, somebody that you can go ahead and throw onto your bench unit. But that's not like a big piece to go mm-hmm. and buy for. Like, there's mm-hmm. the only big piece that's ever going to be mentioned for this season, at least, is going to be Zach LaVine. But at the mm-hmm. same time, how much are you willing to give for Zach LaVine for a maybe?
We already figured this out, at least.
We went ahead and said,
yeah, not more than one draft
deal. My deal no longer exists because right, Kenny Lofton's now in Philly, so, yeah. So Lofton, that's got now cut, yeah. thrown in the trash. But
we said no more than one first round pick.
So, again, there's not a lot of players that I would mm-hmm. look at to be more than a rental. Because, I mean, you could go ahead mm-hmm. and look at a guy like a Reggie Jackson, but you're not going to go ahead and get him because he's such a core part to that bench unit for yep. Denver. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to try and maybe pursue like a Bones Highland.
Bones.
But those are guys that are very crucial to their teams and their bench uh-huh. units.
Yeah, those guys are
going to be. They're going to ask for a very high price. Right. But is Utah really going to be willing to give up a first or maybe even multiple firsts for a guy to come off their bench? No.
Okay.
So I just don't see a lot of people that Utah is going to seek.
Jared, what does this Jazz team need to get better?
Well, I do think the guard rotation could use a little something.
What do you mean something? What do you mean? Like, whose minutes? Like whose role are you reducing? And you need something else from them.
Good question.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because, like, I mean, you know, if the Jazz guard rotation needs something, like, do we need less Jordan Clarkson? Do we need less Keontae George? Like, what are they lacking that we need more of? I mean, if you really don't have one, that's fine. Like,
just bring back Joe Ingles. We'll be good.
I'll be honest. We probably need a shooting guard more than we need a point guard at this point. We need like
who's our point guard
or a wing.
Yeah, a small forward. Yeah, maybe a backup three. Look, Simone's good. Is he next level good? Could we find somebody else? Like, if somebody was a bench player, would
I'm still shocked. Working?
Yeah, no. I know.
I'm still shocked that Fontecchio is this good this year.
It
makes me so happy.
I've made many apologies to Simone. The gift basket's in the mail to his family. So someone that can play. Someone can play wing. A three maybe.
Did you get them some Havarti or something?
Can the Jazz have their cake and eat it too? I mean, this is more of a seller question, I guess. Training Kelly Olynyk, we talked about that because that would be what opens up minutes for Taylor. Because I haven't heard a peep from Jazz fans. The same Jazz fans 2 weeks ago. We need Taylor Hendrick minutes. We need to get him in rotation. We need him. Have not heard any of that in the last 2-3 weeks because the Jazz have been good.
Because the team's been winning.
Yeah. So
Jazz fans are happy.
Yeah. Like it's the developmental Jazz minutes are no longer a thing that Jazz fans want. Fair.
Winning.
Like,
we don't
care. Because you can't really have your kid. You can't really have developmental minutes plus try to be make a good run at the playoffs. You know,
right?
So those are the things that they're hard to accomplish together. So you know you pick one or the other, and the Jazz looks like they're picking. To play Olynyk's a better player right now or at least better fit for what the Jazz are trying to do right now. Putting Hendrickson is.
Yeah, because I don't think Hendricks has necessarily the court vision that Kelly has with all his.
I mean, they're
NBA veteran experience.
They're just different beasts, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And right now, like it feels like Real Hardy has quote unquote cracked the rotation of what needs to be out there. Like who needs to be out there at certain times. You know, we're not forcing Kessler and Collins to share the floor anymore, which has been one of the best things. We're freeing it up by, having Kelly Olynyk play in certain lineups, Lowry playing with certain guys. The rotation looks good. So it's hard to see. And here's the thing, if the Jazz become buyers, that will screw it up too. And I think, maybe that one spot is that three spot. It was my thought, is that, whenever saying guards, like, I don't know, Chris Dunn looks fine. I don't think the Jazz need a point guard. Shooting guard, the Jazz have essentially, four shooting guards, two of them playing point guards.
Forward might be where it's at.
Yeah. Clarkson and Sexton, I think, are playing the shooting guard position pretty well. Clarkson off the bench, I think is a great move. I've been banging the drum that he's been coming off the bench all year long. And it looks fine.
He's averaging the most off the bench of any player in the league right now. It's crazy.
I mean, that's Jordan Clarkson. That's his game.
The microwave scorer.
Yeah.
He had 9 assists tonight, man. Mm-hmm. 9.
He was hunting rebounds too. He was hunting the triple double. There was a play in the first or second quarter where the ball's
if he has another triple double this year, can we even trade him?
He's about to, the ball's about to go out of bounds.
Jazz fans will riot outside of the Stockton and Malone statues if that happens.
Yeah. Clarkson goes to save the ball. I was like, he was looking to get a rebound. The ball like kind of.
Can we melt down those other two statues and make a Jordan Clarkson statue?
Just one giant flamethrower.
Yes, just one. Just a fire pit. So Jordan Clarkson. So he's hunting triple doubles now, which I think is hilarious. I was like, you know what, JC, that's so JC. So he should do that. But do I want the? I want the Jazz. Can they have their cake and eat it too? Can they trade Olynyk, Clarkson, THT? I think those are the three probably main names now that they could trade. Clarkson, because here's the thing. Clarkson has a $25 million contract this year. This is McCade, because somebody, Jazz Jargon, asked McCade, who are some trade targets? And McCade said, I would like to see what you could trade Jordan Clarkson's contract for, because you're not going to have that option next year. The option goes away.
Especially since his contract, it goes down.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like you won't have the option to trade him for a $25 million player because it will no longer be $25 million.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like 15 next year.
I thought it was like 9. I thought it dropped down all the way down. Like,
well, I know it like drops off each year.
Right, yeah. Like so
it was a pretty solid drop off.
So Jordan Clarkson by himself can get you somebody in the and you know, I don't know if Alma's looking at he's either looking at porn or he's looking up NBA contracts. So I'll let you know in a minute. he is
looking up Clarkson's contract.
Two girls, one cup. And so $25 million. Like Jordan Clarkson, the player, but Jordan Clarkson, the contract, could be very valuable. Like you can get somebody, in a salary dump, somebody that's trying to get rid of a big salary, and bring him back. Somebody that's on, I don't. Again, Zach LaVine was
$14 million next year, and then 14.2 the year after that.
So I don't know who the $25 million players in the NBA are right now. Kyle Kuzma's like $29 million, right?
Somewhere around there.
Okay, let's. I don't think Kyle Kuzma is being traded, but the Wizards are trash. Maybe the Wizards say, "Yeah, give us Jordan Clarkson because it saves us salary cap next year. We'll take a pick. Give us Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma for Jordan Clarkson." But like that type of trade, like you can get somebody 25 to 30 million back for Jordan Clarkson.
But I don't know if I would want to take a guy like Kyle Kuzma off of the Wizards. Because, I mean, I would want to go ahead and try and, like, help out my roster. Kyle Kuzma, yeah, you trade away Jordan Clarkson. Mm-hmm. So now what? You're going to bump up Keontae or whatever into his spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kuzma's going to jump into the starting rotation most likely.
Yeah.
Bump Simone down.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Like it kind of it doesn't sit right with me because okay. I feel like Kuzma, especially with how he is with Washington, like he's a guy that he doesn't demand the ball,
right?
But he is somebody who needs to shoot the ball when Jordan Poole decides that he's not going to shoot it.
Yes,
but like if off of that Wizards team, and I want to correct myself from earlier, it's Tyus Jones, not Trey Jones, which I still love Trey Jones from San Antonio, Tyus Jones from Tyus Washington, Jones
is good.
Yeah,
I really like him, but even like a guy like Corey Kispert, somebody who's not necessarily eye popping, but he's somebody Kuzma, that's gonna.
Where do you rank him like tier wise? Is he in the same tier as Lauri Markkanen?
Absolutely not.
But tier below,
like Kyle Kuzma would be like borderline starter in my opinion.
Okay.
Like to be honest, so, I don't think that he starts for very many teams, and that's why he's excelling. Over in Washington, but that's not saying too much. When Washington has won 6 games.
All right, I'm gonna try to look up a list of NBA.
A list of small forwards.
No contracts, just contracts.
Oh, so contracts. Okay.
NBA active player contracts. Sort by value. Ooh, thank you, SportTrack. Sort by value.
Yeah, SportTrack is a really nice one.
Mm-hmm.
Or SpotTrack.
It's SportTrack. I always say SportTrack.
I mean, I'm looking up sports contracts on there, so.
Okay, so these are some guys that are Deontay Murray is $28 million a year, and he's on the trade block. If you're talking about Mr. Triple-Double, he's Mr. Triple-Double. His contract runs for 20, he's 26-year-old, goes to 2027. It will cost you something, but it probably won't cost you a lot.
Especially since Atlanta's wanting to get
exactly.
rid of him.
Exactly. He wants to get rid of him. They want their salary cap to go down. Jordan Clarkson and Quinn Snyder.
And then also you would go ahead and get a pass first guard.
Atlanta's never happy with what they have. What is
Quinn? Right. Well, team? I mean they're find themselves
with Trey.
Yeah. they find themselves in the cap hell, so
I'd be willing to take Murray. I mean, especially since that would go ahead and give you some flexibility at the guard position, and you would get somebody who would actually have some good court vision.
A pick, protected pick, and Jordan Clarkson, and then your starting point guard is Deontay Murray, and then you still have Lowry.
I think that would be solid.
Okay, I
like that.
That was a surprise name for me, I guess. I was like, oh wow.
I didn't realize his contract was that high, but I mean, especially after you signed that extension,
I knew it was high. But surprised. Yeah. I mean, it's 28 million this year. I don't know what it is for the next year, but it might inflate more than that. He might be a max contract after that. But still, but here's the thing. You just traded Jordan Clarkson for a max contract type player. I don't know if I consider Murray like a max contract, but you'll at least have Lowry, Markkanen, and Giannis Murray as your two max players, plus all these assets, right? So
he'd be $26.7 million
this year.
The following year, so it'd be 25 next year, then 26.7 the next, and then 28.
I mean, could be worse. So
and then it's a player option, then unrestricted free agent. But then you'd have him until the end of the 2026-27 season.
Yeah. So I mean,
and I could live with that. Have him until he's 30.
So okay, that's a big fish. That's a pretty big fish.
I'd like that.
Here's kind of a weird one. CJ McCollum.
With his most recent health scares, I don't know if I'd be willing to take him.
Okay. No, fair.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Scary Terry.
Terry Rozier.
I think I would be
willing. These are willing, 20, 24 million.
I think I'd be willing to take the risk, but it's dependent on the price. Because, like, with Terry Rozier, he definitely went ahead and had to transition to more of a shooting guard mentality rather than being the point guard when he was in Boston.
Let's just say this one is Clarkson and a first. I don't know which first it is. First.
Let's say we're throwing out one of the 2027 first rounders. I would probably put some sort of clause in there to where it's, like, the least favorable goes to Charlotte.
Okay.
I think I would lean in that direction. But, again, like I'm still a little hesitant on it just because of his age. Because if I'm not mistaken, isn't he like 31?
He's only 27.
Ugh.
It feels like
time,
time
has not treated him well, or I'm just thinking he's been in the league a lot longer.
Here's a 27, 26-year-old. One of them has been a Jazz target for forever. Cameron Johnson, Buddy Hield. Again, first round pick.
So plus, I will say for the Hive Sports, I went ahead and put as like a draft trade getting Buddy Hield. So I do like Buddy Hield, but again, it's kind of now dependent on what your contract's looking like because now he's become more valuable in Indiana. And Indiana, they are not willing to include Jairus Walker in any of their trade packages.
This would be just straight up. But here's the problem. Clarkson. You would have to give Hield a contract this offseason.
His contract is expiring too.
And isn't he 30?
He's 26.
Man, why are these guys looking
unless Sportrack's lying to me, unless I'm looking at the wrong column, but
like they are not aging like fine wine here.
Yeah. you know what? These are signed ages, so this might not be their real ages. So you might have to look those up. I might be wrong. These are when they signed.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, there's
These are when they signed. So because I said that, I was like, that doesn't sound right.
I'm going to look up Buddy Hield right now because
Terry Rozier at 27 did not sound right. So I was like, 27. So
Buddy Hield is 31.
Yeah. 31, so okay. That makes me feel a little bit better. And now let's go to Terry Rozier.
So those guys are old. Old as fuck.
Yeah, and Terry's 29.
Yeah, so Terry we still think is like 38.
And he even only has a partial guarantee in 25-26. So you could go ahead and have the 1 year experiment for the $25 million, see how it goes, and you can let him off with little to nothing. Because the partial guarantee. It only becomes guaranteed if Charlotte plays into the second round of the playoffs or if he plays 70 games between 2022 to 23 seasons last year.
That's scary, Terry.
And then
here's a name that's been thrown out. I don't think it makes sense for the Jazz, but you trade for him and figure it out maybe. Pascal Siakam.
No.
No?
Okay. I wouldn't do that. That would kind of complicate things, and then fans would be like, what about Taylor Hendricks? So I'm immediately
wrong. Hold on. They will be. What about Taylor Hendricks? Unless you start winning.
Yeah, but do you think that Pascal Siakam is going to go ahead and be that piece? Because now you're going to go ahead and have to kind of push things around. Because you're going to.
That's what I said. It doesn't seem like it makes sense for the Jazz. But if you're looking at, you know, we don't really. I mean, you do kind of care about this year, but you're really looking to, you know, trade Jordan Clarkson into something that can be really good. Does a front court of if you're like say the only two pieces that matter are you're going to keep Pascal, you're going to have Lowry on a on a max contract in 2 years, does that team on paper look like they could be really good? Because Pascal's pretty versatile. He guards one through at least, five through what, two? Can he guard point guards? I don't know. But he seems like a versatile defender. He's got that like lengthy body type that people like. Just a couple years ago, Pascal Siakam looked amazing in the playoffs. So,
yeah.
It's sort of like we're hoping to build something in 2 years, 2 or 3 years. Get a core piece, like Deontay Murray, right? Deontay Murray seemed like an obvious choice. Play the point guard, play the different position than Deontay Murray, who must be 28, 29 or something like that right now. Pascal Siakam still, 20, probably 7, same age as Lowry.
So Pascal Siakam is 29.
29, oh damn, never
but mind. But also, his contract, it ends after this year. So if you're trading for him, you got to immediately sign him to that extension.
And that's why people have not traded for him, because he says he's not going to re-sign.
And do you know what his contract is for this year?
33-ish?
38.
38?
Oh, so are you going to go ahead and give him more than that for being the best piece in Toronto?
I mean, I don't know if – I mean, I don't scout, so I don't know. I just know that – he has shown flashes of being something good. If you're the GM and it doesn't have to be passed, but if you see a player that, okay, it's like Rudy Gobert. The Minnesota Timberwolves took a chance on Rudy Gobert.
But he has the accolades to go behind it.
That's true.
Pascal Siakam, he has the one ring that was carried through.
So the leap of faith is not there for Pascal. So that's fair. That's fine.
Because, I mean, you can go ahead and look at stats, and you can be okay, yeah, he's doing great.
So let's not get hung up on Pascal. Let's say there's a player out there that's older, but, you know you have to pay him $40 million, but you think he is part of the core. It's going to cost you Clarkson, Olynyk, 2 draft picks. It's not Giannis, though. Somebody – I don't know. I'm trying to figure out a different name besides Pascal Siakam.
Like a prime Chris Middleton type.
Yeah, Chris Middleton. I don't know. Chris Middleton.
Well, not current. Chris
right, Middleton. Yeah. let's see if there's a name that pops up.
He's looking old and creaky.
And you said that was Kelly Olynyk in a first?
Kelly Olynyk, Clarkson, because if it's $40 million, right, it's got to be those two plus a couple of your firsts.
I don't know if any other people would agree with me for this, but maybe even doing something like that for a Marcus Smart.
Ooh, Jared does not like Marcus Smart. So
I'm a big defense guy, so that's Marcus Smart just immediately I'm in love, yeah. But
I'm in Marcus Smart.
Your boy's doing great and great things.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is is there a DeMontis Sabonis trade out there for the Jazz? The where you gave up Tyrese Halliburton, but you got DeMontis Sabonis and he fits with your team. Maybe it's Deontay Murray. I don't know. Maybe it's Deontay Murray.
I mean, either that or maybe I don't think that Boston would be willing to do it, but Drew Holiday, send him off again, but I don't think that they would be willing to do. Mm-hmm. Something like that,
I'm not sure that fits the Jazz timeline either.
Yeah, it does. It
significantly older.
Yeah, but then even Cleveland, they've put out their feelers for Darius Garland, but I don't know if I'd be willing to take another small guard that's not excelling in defense.
It's actually kind of funny. I was listening to a because I'm trying to get a Cleveland podcast to come on, and because I wanted to talk about the Donovan trade. A year and a half later. It's and from what I listened to, and I work with a guy, big Cleveland Cavaliers fan. I thought they would be very, very gung ho about getting Donovan Mitchell on their team, but the Cleveland fans were more like, "We like him. We think he's a little bit better than Colin." They only thought a little bit better than Colin Sexton, which I thought was kind of nuts. Number two, they're like, "But he's got to know that this is Darius Garland's team. He's going to come in and get in line." And I would say in 2 years that he's been there, that is not the case.
Yeah, no, that is Donovan Mitchell's team.
Right.
You throw on any sports show and they're like, oh, Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It's just very funny to me that it's very funny to me that it's interesting how – I mean, it's not our fan base, but a lot of fan bases hype up their own guys so much. But I was like, wow, you actually thought Darius Garland was way better than Donovan Mitchell. And I thought that was very interesting because the kid I work with also was Darius Garland's Darius Garland made the one All-Star team. Donovan Mitchell was going to be a perennial All-Star the rest of his career. It's just crazy to me. But that was a fun talk, guys. I don't know if the Jazz are buyers. there's a different couple of things. Like, again, Jordan Clarkson's so look, there are some pros. Like, Jordan Clarkson has a $25 million contract. That can get you a bigger fish. Mm-hmm. Especially if, like, you know, it might screw up things this year. But 2-3 years down the line, that can, you know, you might be able to get a core piece that's not Luka. Like, say, like, you know, let's go back to Deontay.
I think that dream is, that's a pipe dream anyway, that Luka thing.
Sure, they're all pipe dreams. Everything's pipe dreams. the Jazz have to live in pipe dreams because they can't get superstar free agents. They refuse to tank to get good draft picks. So the only thing they have are pipe dreams. Why do they have so many picks, right? You know, either you draft a really great superstar, which is super hard to do, or you keep the hope that you're going to trade for one, right? So, and just for this purpose, just for this example, let's just keep Luka on the table. But yeah, like, wouldn't you want to have, you know, use Jordan, you know, Jordan Clarkson and Lauri Markkanen is not going to be enticing to anybody. You use Jordan Clarkson, use 1 to 2 of your draft picks, take Deontay Murray from Atlanta, and all of a sudden your core now is Lauri and Deontay. I don't know who's Lauri. Lauri and Deontay. And, you know, now you got a core. You got Lauri, Deontay. You got some young guys. You have assets. Do you look as good as OKC does on paper?
As good as OKC currently? I think that that's still, like, what Utah wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, like, that's something that's going to have to develop over time. Because, I mean, shoot, Oklahoma City took a while to get there. I mean,
yeah. Took a lot of draft picks.
I remember when they went ahead and traded for SGA, like, mm-hmm. a lot of people were just like, oh, yeah. he'll eventually make the rotation. But now he's MVP conversation.
Right. SGA's, you know, all NBA player.
So trying to get to that point, I mean, Utah, they're following the blueprint. They're getting mm-hmm. to that point. I mean, Oklahoma City, they were kind of thrown off with Chris Paul. They didn't realize that they were going to make the playoffs with Chris Paul, but, I mean, it happened.
Yep.
And, I mean, you could potentially see that with Utah. I mean, Lauri Markkanen, you didn't expect him to be what he is now, and you could potentially accidentally make the playoffs.
Yeah. So is the next point, where's the next step for the Jazz? Is it drafting the next guy? Is the next guy already drafted on the roster? Are they trading for the Zach LaVine, Deontay Murray, Kyle Kuzma type to get there? Like, what's our next? What is the Jazz's next step to get to move up?
Probably a trade, unless we're gonna suck in a couple of years. Or,
oh yeah, I mean, and trade. Like, yeah, those are the names I gave you. You know,
Deontay Murray says it's a very interesting name.
I mean, look, like, it could happen. But that's the thing, that, like, you potentially re-scoop the vibes that you have already. And that's going to cost you Mr. Triple-Double that you said, Jordan Clarkson, right? Like, is that type of move, like, is that big move there at the deadline, and are you willing to do that, I guess, as a fan? So,
yeah. If we're getting a player like DeJounte Murray's caliber, very interesting deal.
Because that was like the, you know, like, you know, just, you know, 20 minutes ago, it's like, are we sellers or buyers? We don't know, right? Like, and we don't even know as fans if we want to be buyers or sellers. But, you know, this is what Danny Ainge has to deal with in the next month. Like, how good is this Jazz? You have to kind of make a decision. You know, you have to decide if you think this Jazz team is good enough or where this Jazz team is going to be in a few months. And you might be completely wrong, but you have to make a decision. You know, if you have ace king in poker, you know, and the flop comes out, you have to make a decision that there, you know, what you're going to do, because, you know, that's going to be how you bet, you know, and that's what the Jazz are doing. They're putting their chips in. Are they going to put it in the trade market? Are they going to keep their chips to themselves because they don't want to ruin what they have right now? Right. You know, there's a lot of, you know, it's not envious, but, you know, I just asked you guys, and you know, both of you kind of had to hesitate a little bit, like, oh, I don't know. I just want to enjoy the 3-1 that we just had, the 3-1 trip we just had. So,
because we're finally seeing development. That's mm-hmm. something that, like, the front office tried to, like, tell people last year, was like, watch how we work this roster. And a lot of Jazz fans just were like, no, we want to win. That's what we're used to. We're used to winning, especially after coming off of what – I think the year before was when Utah was first in the West going into the playoffs. Yeah. Or no, yeah. the year before that, that's when it was.
Yeah. Right.
But like again, that's what Jazz fans have become accustomed to, especially since the 90s to now. Like you got one of the winningest programs.
What is the most you would pay for Dejounte Murray?
Like trade-wise, just contract?
Trade-wise.
Trade-wise, most?
Mm-hmm. What? How many assets? Clarkson doesn't count as an asset. He's there for salary.
Okay, so I would at most do two, and that I think would be still absurd. But I think if you could somehow work out a way for Atlanta to put out a pick of some kind, whether it's a second round, first round,
you don't get that. You give up two first round picks, and Jordan Clarkson.
So if we're not getting any picks back from Atlanta, they're just getting one. But I would probably give them a pick that's sooner rather than later.
Okay, so the most is one.
But if I'm getting a pick back from them, I would say they give me a second round pick at some point. I give them a first, and then we go ahead and do the
salary. Okay, second round pick. All right. Second round pick. So two first round picks to get a second in Dejounte. Okay, I'm just trying to figure out where we are, where we're gauging here.
And to be honest, like I'm still like. That's still kind of like iffy territory for me, just because like.
But you gotta put your chips in sometimes, you know.
Like you gotta put your chips in.
You gotta take a chance.
Sometimes you'll win. Sometimes because
that's the thing is that like you know it sucks that you're putting two out there. But if you believe that Dejounte and Lowry are a core that you can build around, then yeah, maybe that's because once Jordan Clarkson's contract is done, you're not gonna get that. Just getting up Jordan Clarkson, so you don't have to give Jordan Clarkson and other stuff. It might be younger players. It might be other salary filler that you just don't have. You know, that deal only exists when you have Jordan Clarkson $25 million, I guess is my point there. So, and, you know, we have a whole month. We'll talk about that. We'll bring it up and enjoy it. The Jazz now have home game. Alma, you're going to be here a lot more.
Yep.
You know, we have to get you a parking badge so you can get in here.
Hopefully by Tuesday.
Yeah, so we got the Jazz have at least three home games coming up, five games coming up.
So this is their
first of the
longest
six.
Home stand that they're going to have of the season, with tonight being the first night.
Six, right? Yeah, six. Yeah, yeah.
So next up, they got Toronto on Friday.
Yep,
I'll be there. Then it's back to back. Then they got the Lakers on Saturday. Yep. Then on MLK
Pacers,
Day,
Monday,
they got Pacers.
Is that an early game?
Nope, it's 7 p.m.
Oh, yeah, they got a night game on MLK Day. They had a dream.
And then they have
the
Golden
Warriors.
State on the following Wednesday on the 17th.
And I forgot the 16th.
Which is the first night of another back-to-back where they play Oklahoma City that Thursday.
Thunder, yep. So, and the Jazz always lose on Sega Babas. So we saw that against the 76ers. So.
And I think the NBA was just trying to be nice to Utah at that point because, like you stated earlier, like they've had a lot of road games. So after they finish this homestand, they go on a 6-game road trip. So the NBA was like, hey, we'll give you something and back on the road with you.
But you know what? They went to Milwaukee and won. They went to Philadelphia and won. They beat the world champs at home a few nights later, so who knows?
And that road trip should be in their favor.
And if my schedule is correct, the bipolar Jazz fans in 2 weeks will be trading Jordan Clarkson again. We'll have that conversation next time. Jared, bus driver Jared, driving the bus metaphorically and literally. This is 49. Anybody else want to shout out here?
No, I'm good tonight.
Nobody in Marnay's Produce Corner. We'll have Dragon Squatch on sooner than later, hopefully. Alma, anybody that you feel like you had Twitterverse you should shout out? I'm going to shout out to a semi-hopeful Jazz fan. Why can't I go to his profile? At Gabe, G-A-W-B-A-E-Y. I can't spell, Jesus. G-A-W-B-A-E-Y. Put out a poll before the trip. Was like, do the Jazz go? And only 4% voted 3-1. I asked if I get a half credit. He gave me half credit, so that's good. Of course, Gitsit, who is waiting for this podcast to come out because he's on a high right now. The Jazz... beating the Nuggets, this is literally Pornhub for him. So he's going to Jazz YouTube right now, watching who's that guy with the YouTube page, the guy that's always wrong with his horses.
Are you talking about the Monty show?
Monty show, yeah. He's watching every episode of the Monty show right now. So, you know, good night for Dragon Squatch. The T-Wolves lose to the Celtics. Alma's still looking at some people. Shout out to John Collins having a good game against the Nuggets.
See, somebody that I want to shout out, he's somebody that I share a lot of views with, and he's somebody that's been, like, supporting me since I moved out here.
Not Donald Trump.
Somebody that's been supporting me since I, like, started doing any sort of, like, reporting, journalism, freelancing, is Calvin Howard. On Twitter, he's Callystar, CallyStarr. He is someone that has supported me all the way from the beginning, and even to this day, now when I'm putting my stuff out, and today was like an abnormally popular day for me on Twitter. My phone has been going off. I don't know if you've noticed. I've been looking at my watch every couple of seconds. Like, we're popping off today. And he's been backing up any take I have, and he dives into analytics a little bit more than I do, and occasionally I need to ask him for some help with some statistics, and sometimes I ask for him to give me some censored tweets so I can use them in my articles.
Beautiful.
But really, really great guy. Again, if you haven't seen his work, he loves to debate, but at the same time, like, know your lane. So, yes. But thanks, it's Callystar, CallyStarr on the Twitterverse.
Thanks to McCade and Jazz Dragon for talking a little bit about the buyer and seller market. Calvin Howard of the Calvin Hobbs comic strip, which is pretty cool. So, Jared, I'm going to drive that bus tonight. You take care. Alma Bean, 23, big things happening for you, my friend, which is good. And he'll be, you know, in here. Like, he's every game is like, you recording tonight? I'm like, I could. And we have a nice little booth to ourselves right now. Like,
I mean, you told me Wednesdays are the days that you like to record.
Wednesdays are like, the days we like to record. Wednesdays at midnight. Technically, it's Thursdays at midnight. Is what it is. So we're at 1 a.m. Jared. driving in the snow there. I'm glad that you're safe though. That sounds like a pretty harrowing bus route you got there in the snow.
Need to give you a medal or something.
Put a little, one of those snow plow things on you. You can be the bus plow. So,
but okay.
They call him Mr. Plow. That's his name. His name again is Mr. Plow. All right. For Jared, for Alma, this is Hu Tran, and we'll thank you to the Believe Network. We believe in you, and we'll see you guys next time.
On Laser Wolf Studio.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.